Justin McKee, our Code of Reputation, 31.
I'd encourage you to open your Bibles this morning, if you will, please, to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 27, where we're reading for the base of our lesson this morning. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" When he thinks about these next three verses, he goes, continues, and shows the difference in those who do the will of God and those who do not. Verse 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Each person who lives upon this earth has responsibilities. There are various responsibilities that we have. As Christians, we have responsibility to God and to Jesus Christ, to the church and to our families and those around us. Every human being that lives on the earth has responsibilities. But when we think about being Christians and serving God, and that's what God would have all people to do, is to be His children. To come to Him believing His word and by faith confess Christ, repent of their sins, and be baptized and be added to God's family. And the Lord does that when we by faith do His will, what He's asked us to do in baptism. At that point, we're children of God and we have responsibilities toward God and toward the Son and toward the Word of God. And we have responsibilities to the church then, because we are a part of the church. We know the church universal when we are saved, when we're baptized in the waters of baptism, Acts 2 and verse 41. Verse 47 tells us the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. He added those that were being saved to the church universal, the Lord's church, the body of Christ that He purchased with His blood. As a local entity, such as at Corinth or Philippi or Antioch or Thessalonica, wherever it may be, the churches of Galatia, the church in Jerusalem, the church at Beulah, the church that meets at Beulah. That's referring not to a building, it's referring to a group of people who are members of the body of Christ, Christians who live in the family of God in that specific area, who meet together to worship God and to serve God together as the body of Christ. And so therefore we have responsibilities to God in that regard to the local church, because the local church represents God's family. We are God's family. We just don't represent it. We are His family. So we have a relationship with the church. I have responsibility to the church at Beulah. I may be the one who preaches most of the sermons here at this time, but I'm a Christian. I'm a brother in Christ just like you are. You are brothers and sisters of mine, and you have responsibilities to the church, and I have responsibilities to the church. Not just to preach the gospel, but other responsibilities. So each of us have responsibilities. That's what we want to talk about this morning for a few minutes, is the responsibility that I have as an individual to the church, and individually the responsibilities that you have to the church. And we think about to the church, we're talking about literally to the body of Christ, to the church, not to this building, but to the local group and to the function of the things that that group does, serving God. We have responsibilities to that. So we want to talk about, you know, the local church and me this morning, as you would word it for yourself, the local church and I. And so what is it that the Bible says that you need to be doing and I need to be doing? And they're one and the same. We all have responsibilities. So let's take a little time and note some of these responsibilities that we have toward God and toward the local church. After all, since we are the children of God and we're baptized into Christ and we make up the local church in this community, it wouldn't matter if we're worshiping here Or if we live somewhere else and worship in another place, we have responsibility to that congregation and the work of it, because we're a part of it. And so certainly we should help support other congregations and gospel singing and gospel meetings and other things when we can. But we have responsibility here to the church because we make up the church. So let's look at some of these responsibilities the Bible talks about that I have and you have toward the local church. Now, being faithful to God makes us faithful to the church. But being faithful to God involves and is a part of being faithful to the local church that we are a part of in attending the services of the local church. To be able to serve in that capacity, to come together to worship God with other people of like precious faith, and to be active in the services. So if Beulah is meeting at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, or 10:40 on Sunday morning, or Wednesday night at 7 p.m., then as a part of that body, I have responsibility to the church that I am a part of to support that. Not only to say, hey, I wish y'all well in the services, but to be there at the services. Not just to be here, but to be a participant in it. To listen, to sing, to listen to the prayer. And if I'm called on to lead the prayer. And to take part in the Bible study. And participate in the breaking of the bread. And the fruit of the vine, drinking of the fruit of the vine. That when we take our minds back to the cross, we have responsibility to be here to participate in that. And so when we're able to do that physically and mentally, we ought to be here. And God is good and God is gracious and God is merciful. And anyone knows that sometimes people are too sick to attend the services. They ought not to be here. And sometimes it may be that someone has something contagious and they don't want to share it. Well, common sense would tell you that they don't need to be in the midst of other people just to make them sick. But if it's not beyond our control, something that hinders us beyond what we can control, then we need to be here. And the Bible teaches that, to be faithful and attend the services and be active in the services. In the first century, when we read about the New Testament Christians, after they were the first ones were baptized in Acts chapter 2 there at Jerusalem, those Christians assembled together. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, they assembled together. Acts chapter 11, verse 26, the early Christians assembled together. And we go to various places when the gospel spread and people were baptized and congregations were established at different places down in Samaria and throughout other regions of the world over the next several years. As those were established, Christians began to meet. And as they did, those Christians assembled together in those places. Acts 14 and verse 27 talks about their assembling together. Acts 20 and verse 7 and 8. We often talk about those verses in reference to the Christians coming together on the first day of the week. Well, the church at Troas came together on the first day of the week. And when they came together on the first day of the week, Paul preached to them, planning the part on the morrow. And they observed the Lord's Supper. They broke bread at that time. And so Christians assembled together, and those that were Christians participated in that. They supported that gathering together to worship God so they could be a part of it for themselves. And we're going to get to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in a few minutes and talk about how that when we come together, we have a responsibility to be here and participate. And as we do that, we are encouraging others. Encouraging others with our singing, by our very presence. By being be here to participate in that. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The church was together as a group. 1 Corinthians 11 verses 17 and 18. And then again in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. If we look over there, verses 23 and 26. We see that certainly as Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he emphasized the need for them to be there and participate in the services. And participate in the services in the right and proper way that's acceptable to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 23, the verse says, "If therefore the whole church should assemble together and all speak in tongues and ungifted men or believers enter, will they not say that you're mad?" Well, we're to come together, certainly, but we're not to come together with confusion. How are we to do it? Look at verse 26. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done what? For edification. And so we're to do it with edification. We're to let all things be done when we come together in peace with one another. So I have responsibility to be at the services. You have responsibility to be at the services. Not just to show up, but to participate and do what I can in those services that I have a responsibility to participate in and make sure it's done decently, orderly, that all may be exhorted, all may be edified, that God may be glorified, and we may be builded up. So we have responsibilities to the local church. The next part of that about being responsible to the local church is that we're commanded to be at the assembly, certainly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10 and verse 25, he says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, we should focus on being at the services. It ought to be something that's a central part of our life. That it's something that we look forward to, that we're making plans to participate in. We have to make plans to go to work or to go to school or take care of the business or go see the doctor. We ought to be making plans and have our mind planning on being at the services. So what? So we can participate and uphold our responsibility to attend the service of the church. So I would need to examine myself from time to time, as you would need to look at yourself from time to time, and question ourselves and say, am I fulfilling my responsibility to the local church? That includes to God the Father, to Christ the Son, who's head over the church and Savior of the body, and to myself for being there, and for others who depend on me and who I can encourage and receive encouragement from others if I'm there. I can't receive that encouragement if I'm not there. And I can't give that encouragement if I'm not there. And so, are we fulfilling our responsibility when it comes to service of the church? Another thing about our responsibility the Bible talks about in the New Testament that we have toward the local church is to be a good example. And certainly, that goes without saying. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, Jesus talked about the fact that all those who would follow Him, His disciples, would be those who would be good examples. But as Christians, as members of the body of Christ, we're to be people of good influence. And so we not only influence the ones that are there as Christians, but our neighbors and others who see us attend the services regularly and know us, that becomes a good influence on them in knowing that we have a desire and a goal and are regular and faithful in our attendance. Sometimes you hear words stated at a funeral of a Christian and someone will say, he was faithful attending the services. She was faithful. And there may be those in the community outside the church who are not Christians who will make a remark and say, as long as I knew her as a neighbor, I don't know if she ever missed a service of the church. She attended the services of the church faithfully. And even though they were not a part of the church, that lady that lived and went every service and regularly and faithfully as she could made an influence on who? Those around them. We have responsibility then to the local church to be faithful to it, to build it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2 talks about the local church at Corinth. And the things then that they're sanctified. Christians are bought with a price. And so we have responsibility to be a good example in that and to be a good example to show that since we've been sanctified and bought back to God by the blood of Christ, that we're trying to live a life that is sanctified, a life that is good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. The church at Thessalonica had become a good influence. And Paul was thankful for them and what they were doing in the gospel. So we have responsibility to be a good example in the church and to the church as a part of the church. Turn, if you will, to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. And you may have to give me a little few extra seconds sometime because I'm still dealing with two new Bibles that I bought a few months ago and then I hadn't got them really broke in good. I brought my old Bible with me last Sunday and preached out of it. The back was off of it and it was loose, but I can still find places in it better than I can these others. But here in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, he says, for it is God, Philippians 2 beginning in verse 12 and going through verse 16. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. So as members of the church, we're to set a good influence. And there's the Matthew 5, 13 through 16, that generally speaking, we're to be good influence to everyone we're around. School, business, pleasure, whatever it is in the community. But we have responsibility to the local church to be a good influence to others in the church and to be a good influence of the local church as a representative of it in the community as an individual man and woman. So again, the question is to pose for Mr. Charles this morning and for you perhaps is, how's my influence? Am I fulfilling my responsibilities to God, to Christ, and to the local church? The local church and me, again, another responsibility we have is to be active in the work of the church. We've already talked about being active in the assembly, being active in being a good influence, but the work of the church. There's work to do. Jesus set up the church to do work. Specifically, the work of the church, the work of Christians that are saved, is to teach the gospel, share the gospel, obey the gospel in their life, and share it with others and bring others to God. The church is to carry the gospel, to send the gospel, to support the gospel, to offer the opportunity for the gospel to be taught to others and invite others to come, and so to bring others to Christ. So the work in the church then, there's a lot of work to do. And so Matthew 20 and 21 talks about that work. Ephesians 4, 16 talks about the work of the church. And so there's work to do in the church. Are we doing the work that God set up for us to do? If we are, then we need to continue in it. If we're not, we need to get started and we need to be doing it. The work of the church is of edification, teaching its own members, teaching its younger members and bringing them up so that they can grow in Christ. That's also a parent responsibility, a home responsibility. It's also a responsibility of the church to teach the younger, to teach one another, to edify one another, to build up one another in the faith. So are we being active in the work of the church in edification? So it's important that we do that. There's the spiritual and physical work to do. Am I faithfully working in the church, doing what God would have me to do? And so that there's numerous things that we need to do as far as the activity of the church, as far as the worship, the work, the things that the church does in supporting the gospel, spreading the gospel. These are important. And we're going to get to some of the other things the church do, which is, of course, helping needy saints and widows indeed. And that's a part of my responsibility and your responsibility to help support that by giving to the Lord's work. And they can be supported out of the Lord's work if they are a member of the body of Christ and faithful. If they're a widow indeed over a certain age and they don't have family to care for them. But that's limited and God put limitations on that. You know, if a widow has a nephew or a family that can take care of her, then they have responsibility. Because if a man won't take care of his own, he's denied the faith and worse than infidel. And why should they do that? They should do that so that the church do what? Be not burdened. God didn't set the church up to feed the whole world. He set the church up to save souls and spread the gospel. And if there be those who fall under needy saints or widows indeed, those who are in need, then the church may help them, to help them get past that and over it and through it. And that's doing what God's saying. And so the work of the church, the spiritual and physical work, is to be done. So am I faithfully helping to support the church in all those things? And so when we think about the local church, the Bible teaches we have a responsibility to care for one another. And here at Beulah, that goes without being said. I look around and I see over these years, your care for one another. I see people who take food to the sick. I see people who take baby blankets and things to people who's got a new baby. I see people who go and hold the hands and pat the shoulder and hug the neck and give a kind word to those who've lost loved ones. I see people that go to people that may be weak and not attending as they should, and they call them up. They go to them and encourage them to come back to the services. I see people working in that at Beulah, and that's good, and we need to continue to do that. Do we care about others? Galatians 6, 1 through 10 talks about others that may be overtaken in a fault. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one the spirit of meekness, lest thou also be tempted. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And of course, that goes without saying, it's for anyone we come in contact that we have the means to help with. We should do good to all men, but especially to who? To those of the household of faith. Verse 10. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. If we had time this morning, those verses would be very well worth reading. But just think about what John says. God loved us enough to send His Son and give us life. And so if we love God, who are we going to love? We're going to love the brother that we have seen. And if we love the brother we have seen, then we're going to do good to him and we're going to care for him if he needs our help. That's basically what God is saying. So Christians then were taught, even by Jesus, those who would be His followers, and many of them would later become Christians after Christ died. But at that point, He had told them, you know, that you need to be people that care about others. That one thing you need to do, think about the second great commandment, is to love your neighbor as yourself. So in the church, am I upholding my responsibility to those in the church? Do I care about others? Do I care about the young? Do I care about the middle-aged? Do I care about the young parents that are struggling to raise their children and teach them? Do I care about the older people that are aging and can't get out anymore? I know you do, because over the time that we've been here, I see many of you bringing other people that can no longer drive to the services and helping them get out of your car and bring them in. Some of them have been in wheelchairs. Some of them have been on walkers. Some have come in with the help of your hand on that. That's helping others in that regard. Are we helping others that are weak spiritually? If I become weak spiritually and you notice that, then please, Barry, come to me and say, Charles, I believe you're struggling a little bit. Is there something wrong? Can I help you get your faith and get your focus back right? We all need that from time to time. We all have struggles and trouble. Are we caring about each other's? The souls of one another. We care about you. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we care about you. We want you to be baptized into Christ. Not that we would say that we talked someone and they were baptized, but that you could come to God and save your soul. That's the important thing. If you're here this morning and you haven't lived right with God and you're a Christian, then we care about you and God cares about you. And we would love to see you repent of your sins and pray to God. And you know what? He'll forgive you. He'll forgive you of your sins. Caring about people means we care about their soul. Caring about people also means we care about their health, their needs. Do we have the proper care for one another? Numerous times in the Bible we read about let brotherly love continue. And if we care about one another as we should, we'll show our love toward one another as we ought to. Well, very quickly, number five. This is the last point, so we can get through and move on to our Bible classes. And there are other points we could talk about. We could have a whole week series on this, or 6 month series on this, about our responsibility to the church, and really not do it justice. But this is about a 35-minute sermon, trying to get all this in. So, our responsibility to the local church is that I have responsibility and you have responsibility to the local church to do my part in the financial support of the church. And that's not something I came up with. That's something God planned. The only authorized way that the church is to meet financial responsibilities for the work of the church, for the function of the church, for evangelism, for benevolence, is by the free will offering of its members. That's the way God set it up. That's the example we have, that Christians on the first day of the week, when they came together, were commanded to lay by in store. How? As God has prospered you, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. When Christians in other places, when there was a dearth in the land and there was a famine in the land, and there were Christians in need, other Christians in other congregations sent to them. How? They gave of their own means. Some of them gave more to begin with, Paul said, than they probably could afford. And then Christians came and got it, and they took it to who? The elders of the church. See, God has a plan for the church to be supported financially. The church is self-sustaining. We're here to do the work of the church. And it can do it all without any outside organization, larger or smaller. That's the amazing thing about the truth of God, is God set it up and it actually works. It works. And it works well. But it depends on Christians' understanding, like myself. You know what? I've got a responsibility to the church and to God and to Christ and to myself and to others to be faithful in attendance, to be a good example, to be active in the work of the church, to care about one another, to do my part in financial support. So, what's going to happen? I'm going to have to give responsibility. I'm going to have to give an account of whether or not I have fulfilled my responsibility. Each one must give an account. Each one. Are we fulfilling our responsibilities? There's coming a day of reckoning, and the Lord's going to divide the sheep from the left, from the goats. The sheep on the right and the goats on the left. We're going to be held responsible. So while we're here, let's fulfill our responsibilities while we have opportunity, because we don't know how long the opportunity may last. So if you're here this morning and you have a desire to be baptized, or you have a desire for the prayers of the brethren, please come while James leads us in the invitation song.